expect no less of you." The words kept Tiffany warm as she flew over the trees. The fire in her head burned with pride, but contained one or two big crackly logs of anger. Granny had known. Had she planned it? Because it looked good, didn't it? All the witches would know. Mrs. Earwig's pupil couldn't cope, but Tiffany Aching organised all the other girls to help out and didn't tell anyone. Of course, among witches, not telling anyone was a sure way of getting things found out. Witches were very good at listening to what you weren't saying. So Anna Grammer held on to her cottage, and Mrs. Earwig was embarrassed and Granny would be smug. All that work and rushing around to let Granny feel smug. Well, and for Mrs. Stumper's pig, and everyone else, of course. That made it complicated. If you could, you did what needed to be done. Poking your nose in was basic witchcraft. She knew it. Granny knew she knew it. So Tiffany had scurried around like a little clockwork mouse. There would be a reckoning. The clearing was full of snow in great icy drifts, but a path had been worn to the cottage, she was pleased to see. There was something new. There were people standing by Miss Treason's grave, and some of the snow had been scraped off. Oh no, Tiffany thought as she circled down. Please say she hasn't gone looking for the skulls. It turned out to be, in some ways, worse. She recognised the people around the grave. They were villagers, and they gave Tiffany the defiant, worried stares of people scared half to death by the small but possibly angry pointy hat in front of them. And there was something about the very deliberate way they weren't looking at the mound that instantly drew her attention to it. It was covered in little torn scraps of paper, pinned down with sticks. They fluttered in the wind. She snatched up a couple. "Miss Treason, please keep my boy Joe safe at sea. Miss Treason, I'm going bald, please help. Miss Treason, please find our girl Becky what run away, I'm sorry." There were more. And just as she was about to speak sharply to the villagers for still bothering Miss Treason, she remembered the packets of Jolly Sailor tobacco that the shepherds, even now, left on the turf where the old shepherding hut had been. They didn't write their petitions down, but they were there all the same, floating in the air. "Granny Aching, who herds the clouds in the blue sky, please watch my sheep. Granny Aching, cure my son. Granny Aching, find my lambs." They were the prayers of small people, too afraid to bother the gods in their high places. They trusted in what they knew. They weren't right or wrong. They were just hopeful. "Well, Miss Treason," she thought, "you're a myth now, as sure as anything. You might even make it to goddess. It's not much fun, I can tell you." "And has Becky been found?" she said, turning to the people. A man avoided her gaze as he said, "I reckon Miss Treason'll understand why the girl won't be wanting to come home any time soon." "Oh," thought Tiffany, "one of those reasons." "Any news of the boy, then?" she said. "Ah, that one worked," said the woman. "His mum got a letter yesterday saying he'd been in a dreadful shipwreck but was picked up alive, which only goes to show." Tiffany didn't ask what it was that it went to show. It was enough that it had gone to show it. "Well, that's good," she said. "But lots of poor seamen got drowned," the woman went on. "They hit an iceberg in the fog, a big floating mountain of ice shaped like a woman," they said. "What do you think of that?" "I expect if they'd been at sea long enough, anything would look like a woman, eh?" said the man, and chuckled. The women gave him a look. "He didn't say who she... if she looked like, you know, anyone?" said Tiffany, trying to sound nonchalant.
"Depends where they were looking," the man began, cheerfully.
"You ought to wash your brain out with soap and water," said the woman, prodding him sharply in the chest.
No, miss," he said, looking down at his feet. "He just said her head was all covered with seagull poo, miss."
This time, Tiffany tried not to sound relieved. She looked down at the fluttering bits of paper on the grave and back to the woman, who was trying to hide what might be a fresh request behind her back. "Do you believe in this stuff, Mrs. Carter?" The woman suddenly looked flustered.
"Oh, no, miss, of course not. But it's just that, well, you know."
"It makes you feel better," thought Tiffany. "It's something you can do when there's nothing more to be done. And who knows? It might work." "Yes, I know it's..." Her hand itched, and now she realised that it had been itching for a while. "Oh, yes," she said under her breath. "You dare?"
"Are you all right, miss?" said the man.
Tiffany ignored him. A rider was approaching, and snow followed after him, spreading and widening behind him like a cloak, soundless as a wish, thick as fog. Without taking her eyes off him, Tiffany reached into her pocket and gripped the tiny cornucopia. Ha! She walked forward. The Wintersmith dismounted from his snow-white horse when it had drawn level with the old cottage. Tiffany stopped about 20 feet away, her heart pounding. "My lady," said the Wintersmith, and bowed. He looked better and older. "I warn you, I've got a cornucopia, and I'm not afraid to use it," said Tiffany. But she hesitated. He did look almost human, except for that fixed, strange grin. "How did you find me?" she said. "For you I have learned," said the figure. "I learned how to search. I am human."
"Really?"
"But his mouth doesn't look right," said her third thoughts. "It's pale inside, like snow. That's not a boy there. It just thinks it is." "One big pumpkin," her second thoughts urged. "They get really hard at this time of year. Shoot him now." Tiffany herself, the one on the outside, the one who could feel the air on her face, thought, "I can't just do that. All he's doing is standing there talking. All this is my fault." "He wants never-ending winter," said her third thoughts. "Everyone you know will die." She was sure the eyes of the Wintersmith could see right into her mind. "The summer kills the winter," the third thoughts insisted. "That's how it works." "But not like this," Tiffany thought. "I know it's not supposed to be like this. It feels wrong. It's not the right story. The King of the Winter can't be killed by a flying pumpkin." The Wintersmith was watching her carefully. Thousands of Tiffany-shaped flakes were falling around him. "We will finish the dance now," he said. "I am human, just like you." He held out a hand. "Do you know what human is?" said Tiffany. "Yes, easy. Iron enough to make a nail," said the Wintersmith promptly. He beamed, as if he'd done a trick successfully. "And now, please, we dance." He took a step forward. Tiffany backed away. "If you dance now," her third thoughts warned, "that will be the end of it. You'll be believing in yourself and trusting in your star, and big twinkly things thousands of miles up in the sky don't care if they twinkle on everlasting snow." "I'm not ready," Tiffany said, hardly above a whisper.
"But time is passing," said the Wintersmith. "I am human. I know these things. Are you not a goddess in human form?"
The eyes bored into her. "No, I'm not," she thought. "I'll always be just Tiffany aching." The Wintersmith drew closer, his hand still outstretched.
"Time to dance, lady. Time to finish the dance."
Thoughts leaked out away from Tiffany's grasp. The eyes of the Wintersmith filled her mind with nothing but whiteness, like a field of pure snow.
"Aye!"
The door of old Miss Treason's cottage flew open, and something came out, staggering through the snow. It was a witch. You could not mistake it. It was probably a she, but some things are so horrible that worrying about how to address a letter to them is silly. Had a hat with a point that curled like a snake. It was on top of dripping strands of mad, greasy hair, which were perched on a nightmare of a face. It was green, like the hands that waved black fingernails that were really terrible claws. Tiffany stared. The Wintersmith stared. The people stared. As the horrible, screaming, lurching thing drew nearer, the details got clearer, like the brown, rotting teeth and the warts. Lots of warts. Even the warts on the warts had warts. Anagramma had sent off for everything. Part of Tiffany wanted to laugh, even now, but the Wintersmith snatched at her hand, and the witch grabbed his shoulder.
"Don't you take hold of her like that! How dare you! I'm a witch, you know!"
Anagramma's voice wasn't easy on the ear at the best of times, but when she was frightened or angry, it had a whine that bored right into the head.
"Let go of her, I say!" screamed Anagramma.
The Wintersmith looked stunned. Having to listen to Anagramma in a rage was hard for someone who hadn't had ears for very long.
"Let her go!"
she yelled. Then she threw a fireball. She missed. Possibly she meant to. A ball of flaming gas whizzing nearby usually makes most people stop what they're doing. But most people don't melt. The Wintersmith's leg dropped off.